But usually we like to call these meetings to order by having everyone go around and say your name. Like, you can say your first name, maiden name, and married name. When you were born and where you were born. And we go one around a circle, and then we start, get into the real questions or talk. So
I guess I should go first and say that it's May 30th of 2001, and we are in Boise City, Oklahoma, at the Cimarron Heritage Center.
So now we know. Now we don't want to take where we are. So if you want to start, that'd be great.
Okay, I'm Eunice Hathaway Embry, and I was born in 1921, March 24th. That makes me 80 years old.
Doing some fast math in my head there. Uh-huh. Where were you? Where were you born?
Campo, Colorado.
All right.
11 miles southwest of Campo.
Oh, so that's pretty close to Oklahoma, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm Ruth Ford. I was born up in Baca County, Colorado, just over the line, in 1922.
Now, I'm Mary Ione Cutter. Mary Ione Cutter, French Cutter, and I was born in 1929, November the 5th, and I was born in Boise City.
All right.
I'm Helen Powell Etling. I was born February the 4th, 1924, and I was born in Prosper, Texas.
Where is Prosper?
It's about 20 miles north of Dallas.
All right, yeah.
Deep in the
nowadays,
Texas,
it's right out of Flower Mound, I think. And
Flower Mound. Mm-hmm.
All right, and did all of you... would you say grew up in a rural area, or was some in more urban, or was it like a farm upbringing? Or
mine was farm ranch.
Well, it was a little farm where I was born, 11 miles southeast of, or southwest of Campo. And when I was 5 years old, well, then we moved to Boise City, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah. Did you move into town?
Hmm?
Did you move into town, or did you?
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of born in the urban farm slash, I mean, urban slash farm, right out south of our hospital here. There's a road that goes by, and that's where you, the county, not the county line, but the city, where the city begins and the farming starts. So I was born on the farm side.
But you could walk over to the city side.
Yeah. I walked to school all the time, so yeah.
Didn't we all?
Yeah.
I left Prosper, Texas when I was small. My dad played baseball, and the Depression came along, and he got an offer to come here and pitch for Boise City and a job, and in 1929, and we came to Boise City from Dallas, Texas.
Wow.
What a change, huh?
At first, they had moved to New Mexico and was over there about 6 months. And then back in those days, baseball was a big thing. And he was a baseball pitcher. And every little town had a baseball team. And they'd hire him. And we traveled around. And it was about time for me to go to school, and we had to stop. And there was a man here named Mr. Godown, who had a store, R.A. Godown. And he was also the baseball manager of Boise City. And he came to Wellington, Texas, where we were playing, and told Dad if he'd come up here, he'd give him a job. So we came. That's my story.
The best movie ever made.
I think you win the prize of the most unusual reason for being in Boise City I've ever heard.
That's right.
But, and then he played baseball here for Kenton and all around for years. But he worked for Roy Godown for 20, so...
Good enough.
Did a lot of things for him.
Well, what would you say... I know we have a kind of a variety of lifestyles here, you know, farm and ranch and city farm and farm and...
Well, they tell me you can take the city, the country out of...
The girl out of the city. We know what you're saying.
Girl out of the city?
Something like that.
You can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the girl.
Right.
That's right.
Well, what would a typical day be like for you then as a small child growing up here in Boise City? What would you call a normal day be like for you as a young child in town?
Oh, heavens. Just going to school and going home and doing whatever, I guess. I mean, it was just a small place, and there really wasn't much to do.
Yeah. What did your father do?
My father was a carpenter, and his father was a carpenter, and he had five brothers, and they were all carpenters.
Good ones.
And they came from Wichita, Kansas. Then my dad's father came from New York. And when my father was a small child, he lived in, well, the fact is, he was born in Adrian,
Oklahoma?
No. Michigan. And he used to ice skate across the corner of the Lake Michigan in the winter to get to his job across it, so he wouldn't have to walk all the way around. He'd ice skate across.
How neat.
Mm-hmm. And he built his first house when he was 16.
Wow.
Can you see a kid now, 16, building a house?
I'd like to see a lot of them.
I would like to, right.
I think that'd be a good experience.
Oh, I think it's a great experience.
So as a child here, you didn't have chores to do or jobs you were expected to do?
No, we just lived in town. And, well, we did have an old cow out there, and Dad had him a chicken or two, but that's about the size of it. I mean, you just, I guess you just grew up. I don't know, you know.
That's right.
What more do you say, you know?
I bet daily life on the farm is a little bit different on the farm ranch.
Sure.
What is,
hit the, as soon as you get home, 2.5 miles from school, walking most of the time in good weather, you know, and then you had all this work to do. And I was the oldest girl, so I got most of it.
That's bad, yeah.
Of course, they might tell a different story.
Yeah. Well, there were 7 in my family.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where did you fit in?
I was about the middlest.
Right. That's why you didn't have to do too much.
Oh, I learned to wash dishes and had an argument with my sister that's younger than I am once in a while, because I wanted to wash the dishes, or I wanted to dry the dishes one day, and she wouldn't let me. So we had a row. And Dad said, Eunice, behave yourself. So I decided, okay, I'll get even with you. And I got more water in the wrench water than I had in the dish water. That's some of the things we did when we were kids.
Well, my life was, as soon as, see, I was the second child down. And I had to always go out and help get the cows milked, you know, and feed them, my brother and I. And then we'd milk the cows and so on, and take the milk and separate it. I don't know if you know what a separator is, but
yeah.
And then when we got that done, Mother'd have breakfast and eat breakfast and find that gallon syrup bucket and put our lunch together and head off for school 2.5 miles. And then at night, some of my chores was I had to fill the reservoir on the stove. Well, that old stove there doesn't have a reservoir, I guess.
Heat the water?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the end of it, you know, when they built fire, why they'd it heat the water. And that was pretty nice, too, because when you wanted to wash your hands or anything, you have it. Because we didn't have plumbing in our house for, well, even while, until I'd grown up and gone, but later my parents did. But anyhow, and I had to carry all that water in and take out the ashes, and then go out and chop wood and get the wood in for Mother to have the next day, and carry the coal in and things like that. Because I was the oldest girl, you know, my brother was working in the field and thing, and so. But I never thought much about it. That's just how you have to do. So you do it.
Yep.
That's right.
Uh-huh. What about you two? Your
Well, I remember getting up fairly early because mm-hmm. we always did, and we always had oatmeal for breakfast and eggs and bacon and stuff I just took for granted. And then if it was school time, we had to get ready for school, and I walked to school. But I don't remember what I did for food. They didn't have a cafeteria, then I must have taken my lunch. It didn't impress me very much, whatever I ate.
Well, but, I walked home for lunch.
Well, maybe I did, too.
How far were you
about
from
everybody
the school?
Walked.
About a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we walked home. I walked because we lived up there.
That's right. I would have lost half a day if I'd walked home for lunch.
And then we had animals, you know, and I remember my little sister and I would go and get the cows out in the pasture and bring them in. That gave us some time away from the house where we didn't have to do the chores in the house, you know, like dusting or whatever, you know. And it was a pretty carefree life there for a while. Until I grew a little older, and of course your responsibilities increase as you get older, and that was fine with me. But and I remember, I believe we did go home for lunch because I know that we had a little hamburger shack that was run by this woman that finally, when we got to go over there and eat hamburger, we just loved it.
Mrs. Skaggs.
And it was a little thing that you couldn't have many people in it at once.
Cost a nickel for a hamburger.
A nickel for a hamburger. And you couldn't go in very many of you, because if you did, you'd set off the leverage on the trailer and it would get kind of lopsided. And it was pretty precarious, I'll tell you.
But she put out a good hamburger.
Oh,
she
my.
She really did.
Either that or I was awful darn hungry. I don't know.
Well, it tasted good to us. You
yes.
know, when...
Yes, that's right.
Of course, it doesn't take it very much to make a kid happy.
No, not really. But anyhow, those were some of the things.
Some
I remember.
Of them.
But I know I had to get home right after school, because if I dilly-dallied and went up by town and came out, I was in trouble, big trouble. So.
Well, my life was quite a bit different because I was an only child. And I really didn't have to do very much, to be real honest with yeah. you. And I was more, I think, like my dad. He liked, we played a lot. He tried to get me to play golf, and I played a lot of baseball. I did all the things that my dad wanted me to. But I wasn't very good around the house. I never did much in the house.
You were more likely to
because my
be
mother a... didn't. I just was always with my dad
yeah.
doing things. And during those years, Dad had a pretty good job with Mr. Godown, and then he did other jobs. And I really don't remember that we had much problems. And Mother bartered a lot. I mean, she did a lady's hair. She'd do the ironing for the lady to do her hair. I remember mm-hmm. that. And then she did the ironing to Mrs. Butterball here in town, who ran the paper, and that got her newspaper. She did the ironing for her. And so there's a lot of bartering went on like that. So, but I don't remember too many hard times, other than like Eunice said. And Eunice and I didn't live too far apart.
No,
when we were growing
blocks.
Up. Mm-hmm. And we'd walk to school and walk back.
That's right.
How often would you get to go over to the hamburger shack? Did you ever make it over there to the hamburger shack?
No,
she didn't go to school.
I didn't go here.
Well,
I
went
quite.
I got quite a bit of time.
Well, I went, mm-hmm. and I got in bad trouble because...
Oh, you did?
mm-hmm. I got to going after school sometimes, and Miss Skaggs and I seemed to get along real well, and she'd charge it to me.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure she didn't charge a lot of people. I think she had a little
and my bill. And I know my bill got up to $5, and I thought my folks was going to...
That's a lot of hamburgers.
She sold candy bars and Cokes, too,
yeah.
or
yeah.
a pop.
Yeah, that's 50.
Not Cokes,
and she,
pop.
And her son also worked at the store where my dad did, and finally Miss Skaggs said something to Dad that I was in debt a little bit. And I think that taught me more about being in debt than anything. I never did do that ever anymore.
As kids in the area, what did you all do for fun or entertainment?
I went swimming out there at the swimming pool in the summer all the time.
Yeah?
And then we had a good theater.
Mm-hmm, real good.
Yeah, theater. Real good theater.
And he had Saturday and Sunday matinees.
We used to have a skating rink.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, I loved skating.
Portable skating rink came in every summer.
Door skating.
Yeah, and then
that's the funniest thing, wasn't it?
We learned to skate.
Portable skating rink.
Yeah, they just bring the boards. I mean, their skating floor, and put a tarp. Sometimes it was in a tent.
Kind of a tent
around it, and it was there. And it was pretty
good. And we'd skate all summer.
I never did learn how to skate well, but I loved to try.
But that skating rink came in every summer, and set up down there. Kind of in the west town, and it always was there.
Yeah.
We had a drugstore that had a fountain, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and we'd always
go
there. We'd go to the matinee Saturday or Sunday.
That's after we got a little older.
Yeah, when we got older, yeah.
Yeah, you'd go to the show for a dime, say.
And
then the movie.
Then we'd go and get ice cream at the drugstore.
We used to get a Coke and a candy bar.
Was the drugstore over here where Jack Peck used to have it?
That's it.
That's where it was. Hall's Drugstore.
Yeah, I remember when I first
where the Keys Bank is now.
Yeah, by it.
Yeah.
You remember? You were saying you remember when?
Well, I didn't. I haven't lived here that long. I've been here just about 10 years.
Yeah.
That's all. And I don't know very many people either, but
that drugstore was there, wasn't it? Hall's drugstore.
I think it wasn't there when I moved here, but it was when I bought the house here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Jack Pick was not running it anymore.
No, he was gone.
His health kind of failed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's real funny. You know, I'm telling you about this road that goes in front of our house. Well, the city girls wanted to come out on Sunday afternoon after church. They wanted to come to my house to play. And I was always wanting to go in town to play. So that was kind of a social thing on Sundays that I had two or three friends that lived on the same street. And we'd take turns. And, they just thought coming out the country. And I had animals and pets and a horse. And they thought that was living. But I really enjoyed the city life when I could get it.
We used to really have more entertainment for kids then than we do now.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, we had the swimming pool out here. And everybody went swimming, and it was a real nice pool. And
in the country.
And then we had the portable skating rink came in every summer, and we had a real nice theater.
Take us and drop us.
And we had lots of church activities, you know.
Lots of church.
And
the swimming pool you're talking about, is it the one that's here now, or it was
Showalter's? Yeah, out in the country.
Yeah.
You walked a mile out to you walked a mile out to Showalter's to go swimming.
Yeah.
Because I can remember my dad would always, and you could go swimming for a dime, too. And he was quite a card, and I'd ask him for a dime so I could go swimming, and he'd say, well, I only have a nickel today. You can decide if you want to put your head in or your feet. That's all I've got. And he'd do me that way on the show. I remember I'd say, I'd like to have a dime, Dad, to go to the show. Well, I just got a nickel. You want to see the first half or the last half?
That's funny.
How was life in Colorado as a young child? What would you do for fun there?
Oh, we never lacked for fun. But we had to work pretty good too. We had to work pretty hard, but we all knew what our jobs were and that we'd better do them, and never thought anything about it. We just did them. Fun. Well, got up as early as I could to get the cows milked and get to school so we could play, and we'd get some pretty good playing in before the bell rang. Then the teacher would come out and shake that bell, and we had to line up and get in there and go to work.
Anything in particular you'd look forward to at school to play?
Oh, lots of things, yeah. Just the camaraderie was good, too, because, you know, when you live out in the country and you're not used to having people around you all the time except just your family, why, it's fun, you know.
Well, before did they have down here, now like down here in the Griggs community and out in there, they used to have these what they call Saturday night country parties. At different houses.
Yeah. Well, they used to have Saturday night dances up our way.
Yeah.
But
I've been to some of those.
And my dad and my brother played for them, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what'd they play?
Violin and piano. My brother recorded on piano, and daddy, and then sometimes some of them would play the guitar, and daddy played the violin.
Did they get paid for playing, or
they'd pass a hat. They usually, if they got $5, mm-hmm. that was quite a bit.
Oh yeah,
but that's in when you know as hard, money was hard to come by, mm-hmm. but it was entertainment, you know, and they had it in the school. Mm-hmm. We had these one room schools, and I thought, I was thinking the other day, my land, how'd that teacher teach all of us? But you know, I never had to take any dummy courses when I went to college.
No.
So
they're called remedial.
No, they called them dumbo in Minnesota where I went. You had to take a test.
Oh yeah, to get entry.
But I did.
Yeah, like they do now, pretty much.
But then there was some things that I hadn't taken in coming up through the line, so I had to take these tests, but they never made me take any over or do anything about it, because if you had to do that, you had to go to school and pay for it, but you didn't get any credit.
Oh, right.
You know, to bring home.
to bring you up.
Yeah,
to,
mm-hmm. yeah. But I didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm. So any other things for fun or games you'd play?
Oh, yeah, we played lots of games. The minute we could get out of that school.
Why did they have to? They used to play Blind Man's Bluff.
Yes.
Well, they did a lot of hopscotch.
And then you
and
tag.
Black Man.
They dropped the hanky behind you.
Yeah,
and
dropped the handkerchief. And
try to get him.
And
they got
when
place.
It snowed, we'd play Fox and Geese, you mm-hmm. know. We'd make a circle and make it kind of like a wagon wheel.
Yeah.
And the fox, whoever got pushed into the thing and had to be the fox, he had to stand in the center. And then we'd all run around that circle. But we had a home base. And you had to run around it and try to get back to your home before he tagged you. And then if he tagged you, you had to go stand in the middle and help do that too. But it was a lot more fun to not get caught.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was what we did when it snowed a lot.
Well, in the winter time, when I was a kid, we fixed this up. There was a lot between, or about a block, between us and the next house down here. And we had all of this space in here, and we had a big old circle drawn. And when it'd get icy, we would play kick the can and run. And we had a lot of fun. I fought fun on this ice and done, got a lot of bumps too.
You kick the can, then what?
You run.
You run, and they uh-huh. and they try to catch you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we used to in the winter. We'd go sled riding. Everybody'd have a kind of half sled.
Oh yeah, you? I remember mm-hmm. my dad yeah. taking me sled riding yeah. after I got grown.
Yeah,
we'd always fix a playhouse out of and then we'd have a lot of we'd imagine our roles. You know, some of us were movie stars, and whoever the movie star was of that day, we would be that, and the others would be somebody else, and we'd have roles. Everybody have a role to play. Mm-hmm. And we'd play house and play with yeah. our mother's old things, the dresses and the hats and the shoes. And
but I really think we do have more. We had more.
Well, I don't think
we
ever
do now.
Hurt.
Oh, no.
Even though you
I was
didn't
never
have
bored.
Any money to no. spend, mm-hmm. we didn't feel like we were being slighted because nobody else had any either.
No.
That's right.
And
that's what I
you
told Miss Ford.
You know the difference.
Which I told Miss Ford long ago. I guess we were poor, but we really...
I never felt poor.
Never felt that way. Because
no.
everybody was the
was
same.
Was the same.
Especially after mm-hmm. the
and
Dust
was,
Bowl and all of that.
It wasn't
yeah.
like living today where it's,
no.
you know...
Because
no.
when the farmer didn't make a crop, it just dominoed down. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody, the merchants in town had to carry him, and there was no work for people. No mm-hmm. one was building.
Do you remember any time in particular when you realized things weren't going as well for your parents as they had been, or do you remember when you didn't get a dime to go to the show and when things started to kind of pare down?
Oh, yeah. I remember one time we were, my dad had always planted beans and corn and stuff, a few rows of them, so we could can them and all this. And I remember sitting out there shucking that corn one morning, and the mailman came and he brought a flyer, and it said it had some shoes in it. And Daddy and Mother talked quite a while about whether he ought to order some shoes, because the soles of his shoes, he had a last and he'd resold the shoes, you know. But those shoes had just gotten to where there wasn't much left to resole, and they cost $2. And I remember Mom and Daddy sitting there and discussing whether they should get those shoes or not, or if Daddy could get along a little while longer till they could get some more money, you know. Mm-hmm. But, and I realized that we didn't have much money, but we never were hungry, because we raised stuff and all that.
Well, my mother would say, before Daddy got home, she'd say, "Hey, kids, you better get your work done, because your daddy's awfully blue." Blue down. Mm-hmm. At a B-L-U-E. Mm-hmm. He's awfully blue, so you better get your work done. Mm-hmm. So things are okay when he gets home. Mm-hmm. I think she's just trying to get her work done.
I think I was telling this Ford Pongo was, my grandparents lived over here at Sedan, New Mexico, which is just south of Clayton, New Mexico. And my dad came from a big family, and there was 13 children in his family. I had two aunts and an uncle younger than me. And I was there, I was at the farm that day when they came out to shoot the cattle. That they couldn't feed them, and the government said, we have to take them. And they would not let them eat them either. And there was 9 children there. That's in the wrong house, and we couldn't eat them, and they just loaded them up and hauled them off. And that's one of the most vivid memories I have of the Dust Bowl days. Well, because I was there that day.
I remember us kids coming home for lunch one day, and Mother had gone to Liberal, Kansas to see her sister who was in the hospital. And my dad proceeded to cook some green beans for lunch. He put them in a big pot like so, and he put those on the stove to cook. Of course, it was a kerosene stove. And the rest of us was at school. And when I went home at noon, those green beans had burned plumb down.
Oh, no.
I don't remember what we had for lunch that day, but I remember my dad putting those green beans on to cook, and they were burned plumb to the
bottom. Probably went outside and
I don't remember even cleaning the old black pan.
They threw it all away.
I remember going over there, you know, when they raised pinto beans, because mm-hmm. over in that country they did.
Yeah.
And you put them in this building. Of course, I was just the fair-haired child, because I was only grandchild, see. and you tromp on these beans to shell them.
Oh!
And we'd get out, all the wee little kids would get out, see.
Well, that's neat.
And tromp on the beans, and that'd shell them, and then they'd, I can remember
that. And then the next step was they'd wait till a windy day and take them
that's
out and
right.
pour the hold the beans uh-huh. up like that and pour them down into the wash tub, and that would get the hulls and stuff out of them.
I remember what do you call that?
You know, when you strip
gleaning?
Green bean?
Was yeah. that gleaning?
You know, well, these were dried
beans. Dry bean. But
so
I noticed
the husk or the shell would blow away in the wind.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
You're going to say something earlier. Do you remember what you're going to say?
No, but maybe I'll think of it.
Okay.
I knew that we generally ate what we grew, and we had milk and we had eggs. And the extra cream my mother took to town, and the eggs, and then she'd trade them for groceries. Mm-hmm. So we didn't.
There wasn't
any fooling around with father's prepared food, but we had good basic food. I love macaroni and cheese. Mm-hmm. We had that a lot, mm-hmm. but just basic good food.
My mother made
about
cheese.
The horse, the cows being shot. The
oh,
government
she said
coming
that.
In.
Yeah, well, yeah,
and
but
then you were gonna
no,
say,
no. When up in Colorado, they shot the cows, mm-hmm. and they let them take the meat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they did let them take the meat.
Okay. Yeah,
they did. But in New Mexico,
and Daddy loaded up. I remember him going down there, and he brought us a lot. You know,
meat.
I don't know how many quarters, but anyhow, quite a bit. Brought it home, and boy, we went to work and canned it. And we had cellar, and then we got it all canned. Now it's pretty good in the wintertime, you know, just excellent. It still is, if you had some. And
did they make jerky?
No.
Dry any of the meat?
No, but they made a lot of sausage and hamburger.
Kids' cheese.
Yes. Yeah, I like that cheese too.
Is there anything you wouldn't eat? Anything you remember as growing up you would not? It seems like people from your generation would eat everything. Anything.
Well, I can't remember. You didn't have much of variety. Now.
You didn't have to beg a child to eat off its plate like you would now.
No.
I don't like that or I don't like this. It just didn't pass much to do
and
that.
They used about everything they could use. Like
never had scrambled eggs and brains.
I haven't either. I never ate them.
Have you missed one? We
wouldn't say you missed too much.
But I know Dad.
It wasn't a delicacy, let me tell you.
They had
it
calf
might
fries.
Be somewhere on
you know,
well, Dad butchered for Roy, mm-hmm. you know, and then, of course, he'd
meat market
the
there. At
meat market.
Would
you like to tell him what calf fries are?
Oh, I've had calf fries.
Oh, he knows what. Now, that is one thing I have never eaten.
No, they're good.
I know they are. If you don't know what they are, I guess.
If you get past the
first time. And I understand they really are good if they're cooked well.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it's just like with I don't know what to do, but the Spanish people really know what to do with tripe, and you see it all in the store.
Oh, that's from pigs. Pig's feet or
no? It's a stomach of a.
Yes. But I've never eaten it. But
and they put they told me in a butcher shop one time. I was looking at them. What in the world is that? And the butcher was telling me, and I said,
pig's feet too.
Oh yeah.
They make soup with it, menudo.
Well, menudo. Yeah, and then also good. They make dressing and put it in this paunch of the belly, you know, they clean it. And then they put dressing in it. That's what the butcher told me. And that meat shell, you might say, kind of flavored it up real good. He said, it's good. I didn't do it.
We made sausage, homemade sausages, mm-hmm. and used the intestines, of course. They'd scrape them and clean them really good, and then stuff them.
And they'd run mm-hmm. Strip off this fat off of these entrails, you know, and they would...
You got a visitor, I
said. Well, liver and onions, one of my favorite foods. Now, none of my family eat it. I have two children, and they won't eat it. never would eat. But I loved it. I liked liver and onions.
Well, I liked it.
And I like scrambled eggs and brain, but my mother could really cook that up. I don't know how she did it. You never know.
And they used to hang their meat in what they called the smokehouse, you know.
Yeah.
Hang it, and then you just go out and cut off whatever you want for this meal and bring it in. You'd cook it, especially in the wintertime.
A lot of times that smokehouse business, I think, kind of come by when they butchered hogs and they'd put that brown sugar on the and all that stuff on the hams and stuff. And
but that's salt. About...
Yeah.
This is a gentleman lady from OSU. They're doing the women for the Dust Bowl deal. This is my brother-in-law.
On the Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Millard Fowler and his son, Gary.
Well, I don't know if he's finding out too much, because we told him we were all poor, but none of us realized we were.
That's the best way to be poor.
We just grew up that way.
That's right. There's no peer pressure, you know.
Yeah, we did, but you know, as a kid, you didn't think much about it.
Well, everybody else didn't have any money either.
That's right.
So. You didn't dwell on it.
No, no.
But we had enough stuff to get some games going everywhere wherever we were, so that we didn't think anything about it. Just go out and have a good old ball game, and pretty soon, Daddy, get out there and honk the horn, and we better come running, jump in the car and go home.
And then after we got to be in high school, we had an awful good basketball team.
Yeah, you were one of the best players. Tall old Sally there.
Was
she
a forward?
Yeah,
I went to Elkhart one day, and I hadn't been over there for years. And this one gal came up to me and she says, I never will forget you. And I said, I looked at her and I said, she was a forward on the team. And Larry Miller's sister,
yes.
Margie,
uh-huh.
And I were guard. And we'd go up and do this in her face and turn her nose up. And I knew she could just kill us, but she didn't get around to it.
Yes, of
course. And that's what she said. Yes, she said, boy, I hated you that night.
Isn't that funny? I was going to say, well, I think that's how I got in trouble one time, too, with the hamburger after going over there getting something to eat after basketball practice.
Probably.
sports were a big thing in the community at that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, were you all on teams?
Well, I played in the grades a little bit. You know, we just played, but...
Eunice and I
played. Yeah, I was a cheerleader.
I was a basketball
real athletic.
When we was about in the seventh grade, didn't we, Eunice?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we had a team.
Yeah, played on the junior high.
I don't know how these girls' fathers felt about it, but my daddy wouldn't go to a ball game to see me play because he didn't think I should be wearing shorts in public. I mean, you know, modesty it came into. So he never came to see me play.
Huh. Now, I saw some basketball pictures over there. Were you wearing the bloomer shorts or the short shorts?
Ours were short. Yeah.
Okay.
I was surprised by how short they were.
Yeah, see, they weren't these bloomer things. Well, now the way the girls, they're kind of just real sloppy, I think.
Yeah, they're real long.
They're gaudy.
Yeah.
Well, so are some boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they cover up more now
than they did. That's
you guys
exactly
were
right.
You guys were pretty risky.
Yeah, we were
well,
pretty
risky. Not our team.
Oh, no. Oh.
They came, it's about downturnees.
Oh, mm-hmm. So that's about how it is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember our suits was navy blue with red trim.
Mm-hmm. We got the mechanics wandering over here again.
We had quite a bit of...
He could probably tell you a lot.
Yeah, he wasn't a girl then. Well, yeah, Millard had some stories, I'm sure.
He could get the other side of it, the boys. Tell him what you thought of the dirt storms.
Did you ever figure out why we had a dirt storm?
Because people started getting all the land loosened up with plows and things, mm-hmm. and it started blowing. In
World War II, mm-hmm. World War I, I should say, was the first war that was fought with machinery. There, before any time before that, they'd done it with horses or on foot. Mm-hmm. So after World War I, we had tractors to plow with instead of horses. And a tractor would run day and night if you had somebody ride it. Where horses, you had to take them in, feed them, let them rest. And after World War I, everybody wanted more food over the world, more wheat, more what. So we started plowing this darn country up just from...
Planted from fence to fence.
Whether it was fit land or not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we raised a big crop or two, made some money. And then it, like common, it wasn't worth anything. So we quit farming. We walked off and left the land blow away.
Wasn't wheat 35 cents a bushel?
I've got
Larsa's dad's. When he first came down here from Kansas, I have a dollar bill frame that he got for some wheat finally. And I've forgotten what year that would have been, but it was about 25 cents up till then. But he finally got a dollar once.
A
bushel.
A bushel.
We burned and he framed it in the stove in the wintertime.
It was cheaper fuel.
It was a lot cheaper than coal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, you had to have your coal hauled in.
Coal from Raton. Mm-hmm. Or shipped in, you know, whatever. It was cheaper. Of course, we burned cow chips and corn cobs.
Did you know we
heard that?
Cow chips, yeah.
Yeah. And they were good fuel.
Well, and Lars...
They're hot and making a lot of ashes, though, because I had to carry all those ashes out.
A lot.
Go out and help pick them up, and then mother...
Carry them back out.
Yeah, and they burned fast. But, boy, they really got hot.
What about other government programs? We talked about killing the cattle that, you know, that couldn't be fed. And do you remember?
Well, you had the WPA.
government program.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's still things around throughout the country that WPA built, aren't there?
Because a lot of your big, like your buildings and things.
We've got a pinhole out here in the backyard that's built WPA.
Mm-hmm. When I was talking about mine.
We heard about their program. They came around building outhouses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really pretty quality jobs.
We've got one of them out here.
I'll go check that out. Is it usable? I got to go.
They've probably got a modern one in here.
But you know, we always, Oklahoma used to get all the flack for being the Dust Bowl, the Panhandle, more or less. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't just us. It was Colorado, Kansas, all around. Mm-hmm. Wherever there was farmland, if it's grassland, they didn't have it.
Right.
But really, the Panhandle of Oklahoma and up where Ms. Ford was born, that was really...
Back at County, Colorado.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's the bullseye of the Dust Bowl.
Yes, that's when the first one I ever saw was coming from the north.
How did your parents and friends and everything feel about the New Deal programs, the WPA and CCC and the...
Well, I don't know.
Well, I think it was probably, the way my parents call it, it was probably a good thing at the time.
Yeah. Put people to work.
Put people to work and help people that had big families. But it was like anything else the government does. It just got out of hand. Mm-hmm. And I remember when the banks closed.
Oh, yeah, this one here.
When we came here in 1929, I remember when the bank closed and we were talking about that a while ago. My dad always said probably you would never have a depression and a drought at the same time. I mean that was just something.
So it didn't happen.
But see the stock market fell in 1929 and we had it then, see. But probably that would never happen again. Of course, he's been dead for a long time, and it could happen again. But that was one of the things he said happened to us.
We had trouble with our bank here because mm-hmm. the banker was really good and put out too much money and
too many loans they couldn't pay back.
He finally was, I think, had to go to prison over it.
Do you remember friends or neighbors that had to rely on government support to make it through?
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody.
Almost everybody. Yes. We didn't, but afterwards Mom said we might as well just go ahead and signed up because Daddy was not going to take, he called it dole.
Commodities.
And so Mom said, we should have taken it because we're going to have to help pay it back.
That's right.
And really, and they'd get big rolls of cheese, you know, this big round, mm-hmm. pretty yellow cheese.
But you'd be surprised.
And grapefruit and oranges and lots of things like that. And we didn't have much of it because we couldn't afford it.
Yeah, that's why
I don't remember that part.
But I don't think there was very many people up there in Becker County that wasn't on WPA. Mm-hmm. And the men worked on the roads. You know, that's the main thing.
Well,
they
what was
did
the other? The CCC was a core.
Yeah, that's for younger.
And they wore uniforms like Army, and they went out and built lodges in state parks. They did a lot of that. You'll see it every once in a while. You'll see a little place where they have it on there, built by the CCC or the
mm-hmm. Raymond. He was in the CCC.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Who's Raymond?
That's my brother, youngest brother.
Mm-hmm.
Were you around when he went off to work for them?
Well, that was down at Fort Sill. Was where he had to go. No,
it was kind of like an Army situation.
Yeah, it really was.
And I don't remember how long he was in it. I mean,
there was quite a bit of CC work going on over around Clayton, I remember, because more so than here, I think. Because I remember Dad's had two brothers that was in the CCC over there.
Boiling Springs has a lot of mm-hmm. CCC work.
The big rocks that they could get from the area and whatever they could build with it, they built with it.
That's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Did you have any friends or family that just took off and left?
Lots of neighbors.
You mean
left.
To California?
Or wherever?
You know,
well, they went west.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it looked like, too, didn't it?
What?
Grapes of Wrath.
Well, they are. It's very, you know, typical. And
mm-hmm. Well, they wrote a book called it The Grapes of Wrath, and it was on this.
Made a movie, too, kid.
Yeah.
I almost got my neck.
John Steinbeck got kind of a black eye over that.
Let me hear about your neck story.
Well, I'm an ex-teacher, and we had a library of films up at the administration, and I ordered Grapes of Wrath. But it wasn't, I knew it wasn't Grapes of Wrath as the real film was. I knew it was doctored, but it come through and the principal saw it, and he came running down there, and he was, "Are you the one that ordered Grapes of Wrath?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you better send that back." And I said, "It isn't what you think." He didn't believe me, and he took it home the weekend and watched it. He brought it back, and he said, "Oh, that's not bad at all." But what it was, it showed the people working and having to get rid of their everything and crying, and they didn't have any place to go, and some went to Chicago, and they lived, a whole family lived in one room, and all of them went out every day and tried to find enough food and work. And that's what that was. But
well, there's several, a lot
it
of people.
It wasn't the John, no, no, not Henry Fonda.
No,
a lot of people
I wouldn't show that to
them. From this area did go to California, and they never came back.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them.
And that was their home from then on.
Back kind of did come back.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. And I can remember them seeing the cars because they was getting ready to go, you know, and they'd have all the old tires they could fix, tie on the back end of them, take off for California. And just what they could get in the car and their family, you know, and a little bit of food. They wasn't much, I don't think.
But I don't remember too much about seeing them leave.
Did you stay in touch with the people that left? Did you write letters?
Well, one of my uncles, great uncles, he went out there and he kept telling us how beautiful it was, and you know, the land of milk and honey, and it was kind of a thorn in our side, actually. We
felt like it's kind of getting there.
Yeah, that's what. So we didn't. We weren't real happy about that part.
Well, what made you guys all stay if a lot of your friends were leaving and it was...
Well, our folks were just tenacious.
They wouldn't give up.
I don't suppose we had the money to have gone.
Right. Well, you could leave everything you had. Well,
maybe we didn't have sense enough.
I don't know. I guess that was it. Dad had a job, and that seemed to be all that was important.
I still think that's what made the people that stay here stronger, because... Yeah. They finally got above that. I mean, a lot of them...
You mean we got enough to have a full meal on the table?
Well, yeah, I guess. But I mean, they wanted to keep their land, and they just had to hold on to it. And
it's a sense of pride now.
Yeah, sure.
But we had a hard time keeping it with the way the wind blew.
Mm-hmm. Well, when was the first time you remember the wind blowing?
Holy cats, about 28 when it started blowing. Well, it's always blown. If it didn't blow, we wouldn't think we were in the panhandle.
Not the 30s.
We've always had a wind. We've always had a southerly, southwest wind. But this came from the north.
Yeah.
And that was at 35.
That roller.
That bad one. Mm-hmm.
But I think the Dust Bowl started about 30.
I think so, too.
How come I remember and I'm only... I wasn't born to 29.
Yeah, I don't care. I think that's about, because we came here 29.
2-3-year-old.
Well, I remember I was home with my sister, and they'd had a funeral in town.
But it got worse, Cutie.
There was a grandmother, Shaw, died, and then
well, now that's you're talking about the Black Sunday.
Yeah, Black Sunday.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
That's when the bad one comes.
And my mother and father had gone to the funeral, and I was home, and I remember looking out and seeing this low cloud rolling in.
I remember that.
And I
wall cloud.
Yeah, wall. It was terrible.
It just looked like... Cloud. If it had been water, it just looked like it was just a big old wave.
We'd
had the Dust Bowl before that.
It had
started.
But I know that I was
really
so afraid then.
And that's why you don't remember, because I was in 35.
But anyhow,
you would have been 6.
Yeah, probably when the funeral.
When that big one came through.
Yes.
How did a 6-year-old react to that?
Well, I was concerned about my parents because they weren't home, and so I kept looking out the back door, and it just got into the garage with the car and ran for the house, and it hit. Then I felt like, well, we're all here. It's going to be okay.
So everybody had gone to that funeral.
Yeah.
My parents.
This was the undertaker's
Oh, Shaw.
That's Hazel right. Shaw. Hazel Shaw from Visay. She's in the nursing home now in Visay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was her child and her mother-in-law that died.
Huh. And everybody in this town about had gone. My folks had gone because I was home. But
she has a son named Chubb Shaw, but it was Charles Shaw, her son, her husband. And it was their child and Charles Shaw's mother that passed away.
Well, then...
Elder and a senior.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a baby found on the Methodist church steps?
The coffee box baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something...
You've heard that.
Was that during that bad time?
It wasn't during the 35.
No.
It wasn't
no.
during the Black it's, Sunday, but it no. was during the winter, was it?
Winter.
It was in the winter.
I think that's what I read. Mm-hmm. And
But it wasn't during that
summer. You know, that baby stayed around town. I mean, they kept it for a while, and then they sent it somewhere.
Somebody took it, that book said.
And then the little thing died. I don't know what age the child died at.
About 2 years old,
he didn't survive.
Well, how did the drought and the depression and the holy rollers coming through, how did that change your life? And did it, it was a trying time.
It's kind of a gritty time.
Well,
everything you taste, it tastes like dirt. You know, I mean, it would come in, it would infiltrate the house, and so you had to prepare for that.
Well, that much dirt all the time in the windowsills. You could clean them out, but before you got them cleaned out, it'd blow some more in.
Well, the houses then weren't sealed up like they are now.
No, we didn't. They weren't quite, but we had a pretty nice house, and it still got in there. I think it'd get dirt in a tin can.
Well, my folks would take the cotton flannel sheets and douse them in water and get them wet, wring them out, and put them up at the windows and the doors. And then when it was over with, you'd take it down. It would just... mud on the other side of it, where it come in and hit that.
And then
are you asking that life has affected us today? Is that what you're
I'll ask that later.
Oh.
I was just wondering
if you...
We thought it was kind of fun because we got to do things then because when it came in, it went up against the fences so the cows could come over into the yard and we could go over the fences. I mean, it was fun time in a lot of respects, but it was... A terribly serious time.
Oh, yeah.
I was just curious about if your life, if your chores, or, you know, the things you had to do or couldn't do, you know, were affected by
when it blew, we were in pretty well inside.
Yeah, and sometimes you had to put a cloth over your nose and your mouth, you know, so you wouldn't breathe so much that dirt, because when it was really going, and all of you know, it was just, you know, kind of like a smog. Smog. Mm-hmm. And you're not wet. It's dust.
Mm-hmm. Well, the American Red Cross would send out big bundles of a white mask that had the strings, you know. And so anyone that went outside or, you know, were, maybe a lot of people had dust pneumonia too, didn't they?
Yes.
And
yes.
died with it.
Well, died with
and
it.
Now, mm-hmm. And now anyone that came through the Dust Bowl days, if you've ever noticed, if you've ever had a chest x-ray, mm-hmm. It'll always show.
Spot or two.
And they have finally learned that was just from the Dust Bowl.
Something I want to ask you about growing up in Colorado. A lot of times people we talk to here, there'll be stories of hobos or tramps coming through looking for work or food or both. But we also hear sometimes gypsies hit the area. And I wondered if they ever made it up into... around Campo.
Well, I was we lived east of Campo, and we were really out in the country. We lived on a farm ranch, and they wouldn't come out there because that was miles from Campo.
Yeah, it was too far out for anybody.
Yeah,
we had hobos here.
Yeah. The only thing we had trouble was coyotes and things like that.
Four-legged hobos.
The Indians came in. They raised broom corn.
They would harvest the broom corn. Uh-huh. Is that what you're saying?
Our house was right up from the railroad, and the hobos would come up there. My mother would always fix them a fried egg sandwich and a pint jar of coffee, and she always creamed her coffee, so she creamed theirs. And they sat out on the back step, and we just loved to watch them. We just thought that was the most wonderful thing.
Why would you like to watch hobos eat?
Because I thought they were neat. I mean, I didn't. I just thought they were another person was visiting us. I don't know why.
I never,
and you never
heard
come home afraid of them or anything.
I never heard anything about them even being mean.
They were in trouble.
No, they were. They were bad straits.
You never, never turned one away. If someone came, and they were always willing, like maybe to do something around them.
Yeah, some of them would say, "Can I?" But some of them hop back on the train. Then,
yeah.
You know what's odd is we've talked to a lot of ladies, and heard quite a few hobo stories. But I've never known a lady that's ever known a hobo or known somebody that became a hobo. You know, isn't that odd? I just thought of that.
I know.
Okay. You're going to break the streak.
Well, I never was out on the road with him, but all I seen was when he'd come home. He'd come home, maybe once or twice a year. And he just wore a pair of overalls and I don't know what else besides a shirt, and he didn't ever work.
But he would leave then when the robins came, wouldn't he? That was one of the things they always said. I'll be here and work for you until the robins come. And when the robins came, he was off.
I don't know if he
remember that story.
Who was it? It was just a friend of yours, or someone?
Or just someone I knew by him coming.
You never knew where he went, did you?
No, he wouldn't even talk about it.
Were you jealous of him just taking off like that?
No.
What
didn't
about,
think much about it.
What really? About women hobos? Did you ever encounter any of those?
No. I don't.
I've hoboed a little. Rogue trains and stuff.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Here's a real one.
Let's talk to the hobo now.
Yeah. I didn't see any women.
No, we've heard mention of women hobos, but I've never actually spoken to anyone that's ever seen
them. I never knew.
I don't know how far it is off the top of a boxcar down the ground.
Two.
I've been kicked off three times.
Did you grow up in this area?
Yeah, pretty much.
And when did you hit the rails the first time?
In 31.
Which way did you go, Miller?
East, I'll bet you.
Indiana.
Yeah.
I was born in Indiana.
So family was born in Indiana.
Hitchhiked to Indianapolis or Bloomington or someplace.
How old were you in 31?
Well, I don't know. I was born in 1913.
18. Did you enjoy it, or was it a good ride out there? Or?
Oh, yeah, most of
it. It was an adventure, I imagine.
Did you ever have any trouble with the other hobos?
Oh, no.
They never gave you static?
The only trouble you had was with the what we call the yard dick.
That's right. Yeah, they come after you with the stick.
They roust you out and kick you off a train, like at Dodge City or Emporia or something like that.
They said that hobos had a way of keeping a big pot on and fire under it. And everybody was welcome as long as they brought a can of food. And they just opened that can, no matter what it was, it went in there. And then they stirred it up and everybody ate it.
We had quite a few hobos, more when we built the railroad through here.
Mm-hmm, the railroad.
Mm-hmm. But you could buy a bottle of milk for a nickel and a loaf of bread for a nickel or a dime. Mm-hmm. And you could live a couple of days on that.
Yeah.
Well, now, was it hobos or was it gypsies that the family were big families, maybe it's two or three families together, you know. They'd come in a vehicle. Or was that the gypsies?
We've had gypsies come through our station up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a gypsy bunch come through, and my dad wasn't home, and the wagon was sitting out there, and he wasn't very old either. And they needed a wagon wheel. Uh-huh. And they soft-talked Mom and got her to let them take one of those wheels off that wagon, and they gave her a gold ring for it.
Wow.
And she thought she'd made quite a deal when Daddy got home. He just had three wheels.
Three wheels and a ring.
That wheel wouldn't fit on his wagon.
Didn't work too well.
But the hobos would generally go straight through. They wouldn't stick around too long. This north-south railroad that goes to Colorado, and then it goes, you know, that was the one they were traveling on most of the time. Here.
Yeah.
Another thing we had for entertainment here every summer was a show came in here, a tent show, and it was called the Hazel Hurd Show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, she was always really They was, she had quite a bit, quite a show, and I can't tell you how many years Hazel Hurd came here.
H-U-R-D?
Mm-hmm. Who was the other man?
No, that, Hurd.
H-E-A-R-D. That came in here in a tent show.
H-E-A-R-D.
Remember, and he came for years, and finally...
Chautauquas.
Well, that's what they used to have, is Chautauquas.
Tent
show.
And they'd set up... They'd set up
what, they do a parade before they had the show, open the show?
They had our circuses. They used to do that. My daddy used to let them bring the elephants out to our place, and we had hay.
Yeah.
And they hay out there, and then we got a free pass to the show.
Yeah. Yeah. An elephant in your backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, several elephants. It was we had, you know, pretty good sized farm, and they were off a little ways.
I know Hazel Hurd always set up her tent where the post office is today. And that's where the show was on. Well,
I don't remember that. I
what
guess
did Hazel Hurd have in her show?
Oh, she just plays. Just she had, I don't know how many people. Do you remember?
Have a little two or three act play.
Yeah.
That's what the Chautauquas were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another name for
and,
them.
And then they sell.
Sing a little or have a,
yeah,
have
entertainment.
A musician, yeah.
Don't you remember the old man who used to come in
Cornian
with this group?
I don't remember that.
Start
at all.
The B.
They, and didn't they sell that
tonic or
that it could heal anything?
A lot of people.
And they'd buy it.
I remember the old man Jameson that used to play harmonica and do the jig.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And now that was at school, you know. He would come to the school and he would do that.
I got a question for the hobo. Some people will talk about the different signs and symbols hobos would leave.
Smiley face.
Meaning like this is a good house or don't go to this place. Or do you remember any of those symbols at all?
They had them here because they said it was a smiley face.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was really true because I've heard of it too. And the symbols that they left was to tell the other hobos that came along after them, this is a good place or... Don't go there.
Good stopping place.
Yeah, something like that. And they had symbols.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times women will talk about their house being marked like that, and then pretty soon it'll just be a stream of hobos coming up to the back
door. Well, that's what happened to our house. I don't know that they had a mark out on our gate, but I know they really knew where to come for their fried egg sandwiches. I guess that's what we liked to watch, too. We were hungry, maybe about it wasn't time for us to eat. And that smells so good. They'd sit down and we'd look out on the porch and smell that fried egg sandwich smell. It was really good.
I remember the Mexican man. Do you remember Monaco?
Uh-huh.
And he'd come to town every and sell his. He'd always he'd be yelling, mice, but he had. He raised corn, and he'd go up and down the street.
What'd he call it?
Mice. He'd always call it mice.
Maize.
Oh, mazes. Yeah, mazes.
And he'd say, and I can remember about the first time it started by women, they didn't weigh mice, you know. Then he'd show them it was corn.
Oh, Monaco. He lived out north of town somewhere.
Is that what
castaneta.
Corn is in
castaneta.
Mexico?
Huh?
Is that what...
Maize.
Maize.
Maize. Oh. Maize is what he was saying, but he was mispronouncing
it.
Didn't have his...
He had that Mexican...
We were talking about him this morning. He had two daughters. And
very bright women.
Yeah. And that's how he... And he didn't have a wife. He just raised those girls, and that's the way he raised them, was selling his mice.
That's where old Joe is that lives across the street from me. You know, he's kind of... a bunch of kids, and he's raising them by himself.
Mm-hmm. Joe,
Rosa,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of the girls got married, and she's got a little baby, so they babysit her. The baby, all these kids babysit the baby all day, and she works, and the husband works. So
there's a place out north of town, Castaneda, and that was named. Monaco, his name was Castaneda, and there's a railroad.
It was
a railroad
camp. But it isn't anymore. There's nothing there, I don't think.
But he didn't live there. He lived in.
He lived in closer than that.
But that's what
Castaneda. Where Powers has lived. Yeah. Okay, he lived back off
in there.
There.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of adobe homes built during What time was that period when they used adobes to build their homes instead of wood? Because there wasn't any wood, for one thing, in a lot of places.
I think that was a pretty wide period there. There were good houses.
Adobes are warm in the summer, warm in the winter, and cool in the summer.
Yeah, I think the walls are about this thick, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. We've got two adobes laying up there in the exhibit.
Oh, they have.
Yeah. I was looking at them earlier. Mm-hmm.
Did you look at that dugout they made?
Out here? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Don't you think that's a wee bit small?
Well, they weren't very big.
You know, my mother was...
I think they were
from, surely from Missouri, and she and her mother came out and proved up a claim out here. And when she's a little girl, they lived in a dugout.
The way it was.
And
we heard the story today. This girl, she lived in a dugout from when she was four until
she was 16 or something.
Oh, yeah,
five of them in a two-room.
Well, my mother, my grandfather was hurt in the Civil War, and he wasn't able to make the trip, so they came out here four consecutive years so they could have...
I was hoping they'd keep on
digging
and make it bigger.
He had to be on the land for a year in order to get a patent on it.
And maybe they did, I don't know.
That's the land that I have now.
Have you?
That was right on the corner.
Well, that land we have down south, that had a dugout.
Yeah. Are we getting out of control?
Yeah.
Okay, we got to get...
Hobo's getting
well, I went down
out.
Yeah,
we got to get back in control.
But our dugout is getting... Stay out there.
Bless your heart. You'll never get where you're going tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to bed tonight.
Oh, you're going to bed. Okay.
Well, when do you remember things getting better? And is there something in particular in your memory that constitutes...
Probably about 32.
In the 40s. We raised our first crop about 40.
Before World War II started.
About 39.
Yeah, I guess
I can remember they didn't have enough room for the grain, so they had to put it out in long... there was no place to store it.
Just pile
it. Was that? We still got that down here.
We
still do that.
Well, we had a heck of a crop in 40. I remember that.
Yeah.
It was worth some money. That 41 is the first time I ever made any money in my life.
And that was the year the war broke out. And my dad was sheriff at that time.
Mm-hmm. That's right, he was. Yeah.
Well,
but that's our first crop.
As a wrap-up question, then, sometimes we ask, you lived through the Dust Bowl as a child or as a young adult, and it was a pretty trying time. And how do you think, what marks has that left on you today? Like, what do you carry with you from those days? Now I'm asking you, how has it changed your life? You know, I mean, how has it made you the person you are today?
Well, I can remember when it was so bad that lots of times we would just open the doors, all the doors, after this dirt had kind of gone down, just let it blow through because you couldn't sweep it. It was like it was waxy or something.
Powdery.
So fine, you know, it just pretty near come through the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And we just opened the door and let it blow out, and then what it didn't blow out, well, then we swept and cleaned. And I was glad to see them dirt storms stop.
Yes.
But they still come back, don't they?
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
Well, what changed me is I never really took for granted anything again. I mean, you know, if you can make something out of something else, you did it. And you just thought that's the way people did. But a lot of people, I think that came from that time because I saw my parents do it. I mean, if you could make, you felt like you'd really accomplished something if you could use something over again.
You know,
call it recycle today.
I'm still stuck with that.
Mm-hmm.
I just hang on to things. You'd be surprised. but I might need this
I think that's true. I think we all kind of that way.
It made you a little more aware of your money, of your what was important, what isn't, priorities.
And I know my mother kidded me a lot about
Worth Wiggins. Yes, Keys.
He and I used to work together quite a bit. He told me one time you know, wind was blowing his booger. He said, you know, this wind is the best asset this country has. It says it keeps the people away to where it leaves the rest of us room to work.
Never thought of it that way.
No.
I think that's one of the things that maybe changed me. It's real hard for me to throw away food. Now, I don't
me
know
too.
Why. I'll move it to this dish, and then I move it to another smaller dish before I'll throw that food in.
Because our...
And I never was hungry. I don't know why. Mm-hmm.
But our parents...
But I did know people that were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our parents would always say, you better eat all that. Now, do not waste that food, because there's some child in China that is hungry. And, you know, they did make it quite a little... And therefore, you ate what you're supposed to. You didn't want anybody going hungry in China.
My family tells me that, because I just cannot throw it away after a meal. I got to save it for a day anyway.
we
at least not one night.
We eat quite a bit of mush.
Yeah. Oh yeah!
Everybody had a cow and some chickens, or something.
Get some corn, make mush.
When wife and I got married in 1934, one aunt and uncle gave us a dozen hens, old hens, and another one. I think one of my other uncles, Uncle Harry, gave us another dozen hens. So we have two dozen hens, and we moved down there on the old ranch, east of Thrall's, out in the middle of the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And when they quit laying eggs and we didn't have eggs to eat, then we'd have to eat a hen once in a while.
But, well, you got two sources.
Between us and the coyotes, we finally ran out of chicken before it was over. And we had a bunch of cows down there that we milked and sold cream. But in 1936, it got so dry we didn't raise any feed, and them cows had to do something. So we rounded them up and shipped them to Kansas City. You couldn't sell them here. Shipped them to Kansas City, and they didn't bring enough money to pay the freight.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I remember when I was growing up, I had herd cattle in the summertime, and they didn't have fences then, you know, and I had a pure black horse I rode. And I'd have to go out and stay all day with the cattle and keep them out of eating something.
That's what the kids had to do.
And they keep them out of something that would kill them, you know, eat weed, bad weeds or something or anything like that, you know. And by gosh, that's what I did day in, day out.
What was your horse's name?
Nigger. That's why I looked around.
It's a different time.
I had one named Black Beauty. Old plug. That
was a better name.
It was.
What do you think would happen to this generation if they had to do go through what we went through?
I think they would be resourceful. I think they'd have
to
do it.
Take them a while. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, everybody pulls out at the
end.
I don't know whether they can handle it or not.
But
I want to
tell you something about the wind. When that wind was harnessed, it was a beneficial thing to this county. For one thing, the windmills. We had plenty of water for the cattle, and then I just think the wind could be a resource as well as a detriment.
You're right, because mm-hmm. we had a wind charger.
Yeah, chargers were
and,
big.
And it'd make juice and go down the batteries, and Daddy went around and wired everybody in the whole neighborhood houses and they bought wind chargers, and one day I was out there, and I looked up, and the wind charger was going around like that, you know, and so I had a baseball. Guess what? I threw it up there. I was going to have that wind charger.
Throw it back to you?
Yeah, I was going to play mm-hmm. catch.
Yeah.
And it just broke that blade all to pieces. I never did figure out what happened out there.
You didn't know anything about it, huh?
Well, I wasn't confessing. But Daddy then started making blades. Mm-hmm. And he got in the blade business. He made quite a bit of money.
So wind was
them out.
So wind was a good source of energy too.
I know what he'd done to me.
But the reason I asked that question is because that's asked a lot of the younger people. You
they
know.
Could survive.
Well, I know I have two grandsons, and I know. Well, I don't know, Nana. They've been asked that before, whether we could buckle down like that or not. You know, because and I just. I don't know. I feel like they could if they had to.
I think they face a different kind of thing.
But they, that's right. And that's what I try to say.
I think they'd be, feel a real crunch, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you give any of these kids money now, and they, if they can get enough to get a new car, they spend it right away.
But, you know, I'm going to stand up for my generation.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
We are what you've made us. Right then and there.
Well, you know, you're not, you're just exactly right.
And that's why I think you could do it.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I really think you could. I may be wrong.
Well, I think
my grandson's good, and I think you could.
Thanks for your comments.
Yes.
Shelley, do you have anything you want to talk about?
The only thing I want to ask is how you got your nickname.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, me? Well, when I was a little girl, my father always had a big garden, and he had cucumbers. And I would go out and steal the little cucumbers, the small ones. Of course, they kind of have a burry feel to them. Yeah. But that didn't stop me, and I ate those, and I'd always have a tummy ache, but he called me Little Miss Cukie. C-U-K-I-E, so that's where I got it. And it stuck like glue.
Yeah, I know.
He asked me about Ione, my middle name, and he said he'd never heard that before. Were you the one that called?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was talking to somebody else, and I told them, because sometimes other people that we call, we want, well, who else is doing this? You know, and I say, oh, here's a list of some people that are doing it. They go, oh, yeah, Cukie. I don't know when I used your real name.
Yeah, you didn't know me. Yeah, that was the reason.
Very few people would know you by Mary Ione.
No, they dismiss that immediately. Man. Oh, yeah.
I get...